Sunday filth. I see. You claim you've slept with Princess Di, and now you want £3 million to tell the sordid details and transform yourself from a disregarded non-entity into a hot media property. I'm sorry, we're not interested. Goodbye.
What do you mean, not interested? That could have been the biggest royal story of the decade.
Not really. It was Prince Charles.
Here with the very latest news are the news headlines, starring Roy Hart, June Whitfield and Chris Emmett, with Peter Moss and the Headliners.
Thank you very much indeed, folks, and welcome to the show. Yes, the show that does for the news what Major Hewitt couldn't do on Dartmoor. James Hewitt reveals in his book that Princess Diana's pet name for him was Winky. I think if I'd been named after someone called Wee Willie, I'd keep quiet about it, wouldn't I? And I hear that an American is suing Mark Thatcher for winding up his business. I can't think why. His mother wound up thousands, didn't she?
Yeah.
And how about Boris Yeltsin leaving the Irish government waiting at Dublin Airport, eh? But he issued a statement later, though, yes. Apparently his words were spoken by Oliver Reed. But still with unlikely stories, EastEnders Arthur Fowler says he's pestered by women who find him sexy. Sexy? Well, compared to Pat Butcher, I suppose he is, but... Telling the show business now, I see. I see Phil Collins faxed his wife. That's the first time in ages, isn't it? Oh, did you see there's to be a big court case over who created Mr. Blobby? That's right, nobody wants to admit it, you know. Oh, yeah, and a magazine survey revealed that as many as 1 in 4 have had their chests surgically enlarged. Just our luck, isn't it? Out of us four, it's Cleggy. And things are so bad for Cross and Blackwell, they're closing down their baked beans factory.
Yeah.
Yes, wait for it. For every 5 workers, they'll have to let one go.
Today, October the 6th, is National Poetry Day, and all over the country a glorious celebration of words is taking place, including a stand-up poets' convention being held at the Friar Tuck Memorial Hall, Littlehampton. Over now to see how the latest contestant is getting on.
Thank you. Ode to the Countryside by me, Shane Wordsworth. I wandered lonely as a cloud, o'er dale and o'er yon hillock. I hadn't got my trousers on. God blimey, what a...
Breakfast with the Blairs. A morning in the life of your average Labour leader and his family.
Hunky blue-eyed Labour leader Tony Blair, played by chunky red-eyed equity member Chris Emmett... He's basking in the glory of his triumphant speech at the Labour Party conference, played by members of the Peter Moss Headlines Philharmonia.
The setting is a Blackpool hotel suite, occupied by Tony and his wife, Sherry, daughter of that famous scouskit, Anthony Boo. I would like to point out that I play the part of Sherry Blair without the aid of a stunt double.
Or a Liverpudlian dialect coach.
Thank you, Chris.
Although Richard Clegg, semi-pro animal impersonator and president of the Scylla Black Appreciation Society, Neasden Branch did offer his services for a small fee.
Our story begins.
Are you all right, Tony, old kid? Only I wouldn't mind using the ensuite lavvy when you're finished in there. I ring for house breakfast. Hello. Room service. This is Sherry Blair in the Major Hewitt suite. That's it, the one with the knackered double bed. Could you bring up 2 continental breakfasts plus extra stewed prunes with soya milk and a couple of decaf coffees, like? Ta very much. Chuck it now, that was quick.
Hello, Sherry boy, oh, behold. The return of a headline's favourite, didn't they? Spiritual head of the Labour Party, isn't it?
Hello, Neil. You best come in.
Ooh, lovely, lovely, lovely.
I didn't know you were staying at this hotel.
I'm not. With Glenys in Brussels, I thought I'd stay at a cheap B&B by the gasworks. £8.50 a night with full use of cruet. So, where's Tony, then? Basking in the glory of his triumphant speech at the conference, thinking he succeeded where I failed.
No, he's got his head down the bog, chucking up, chuck.
Chucking? Oh, being sick? Don't tell me you overindulged on the pomade and cheesy watchits last night.
No, nothing like that. It's his nerves.
Oh, jow, jow, Tony Boyle. Jow, you look like a shroud that's been washed in personal power, aren't I? What are you wearing those claws for?
Claws for? Chuffing hell, that's him in there for another half hour now and I'm busting myself.
Why?
Well, I haven't been since last night.
No. I mean, why is he ill? He gave a real humdinger of a speech on Tuesday, won't it? Didn't put a foot wrong. Well, apart from claws for, perhaps.
That's just it. He's now wondering whether that was a mistake.
Well, the Labour Party has always had a commitment towards nationalisation. Some of us had the sense to leave it alone.
Oh, that's the third brick someone's thrown through our window since Tuesday. Why can't they use the house phone like anyone else?
But the prices this hotel charge for them, I should think so. Wait a minute. There's a note attached to it.
What's it say?
It's from Dennis Skinner, and he can't spell.
You what?
Well, for a start, there's two L's in bulk.
Yeah, thank you. Tony, how are you feeling, Chuck?
Oh, Tony boy, oh, you played a blinder this week. It was lovely, lovely, lovely. Oh. That was a marvellous speech. I couldn't have put it better myself. Longer, maybe, but never better. So what do you think about Dennis Skinner and Diane Abbott being voted onto the National Executive Committee? Was the battle close fought?
Close fought. Oh! What did you want to say that for? We'll never get to the Winter Gardens at this rate.
Well, Sherry may talk a good fight, but has he got what it takes in the clinches?
None of your business, Neil Kinnock. Hello? Hey, our kid. Tony. It's our Ewan, Nicky and Catherine ringing up from home. No, Ewan. Your dad can't come to the phone right now. He's inspecting the plumbing. Are you behaving yourselves for Nanny? You are? Nanny's cigarette smells funny. Oh, chuffing hell. A Liberal Democrat old pair. Arthur Scargill's a what? Where'd you learn a word like that? Even if Arthur Scargill is one, you did what? What?
Oh, Neil. Sorry about that. Must have been the Scampion Welt Moose last night.
Oh, you sure, Boyle? Nothing to do with Glossmore.
No. That's all behind me now.
Oh, you see, I never had any trouble with Clause 4. Not with Clause 4, I didn't. Clause 4 was never an issue in my Labour Party. Clause 4 never put me in the bathroom, not Clause 4.
It's no good, Neil. I'm party leader now, and I can handle the pressure.
Clause 4.
Forget it, Neil, forget it. I'm not letting political dogma ruin my conference. Clause 4 doesn't scare me.
Oh, Tony. Those kids have done it this time.
Nothing to do with Clause 4, is it?
Oh, quiet, Neil. What have they done this time, my dear?
They've only gone and joined Class War.
Class War! Oh, no!
And staying with children's characters, I see Japanese TV is unsure about buying Postman Pat because of the missing little finger on his hands, this being a sign of membership of the Yakuza, the Japanese mafia. So will Pat bow to them and get an extra digit, or just give all of them two fingers? Headlines, always with a check in the post, wondered how Greendale's finest son would manage in the land of the rising sun.
Postman Pat was busy getting to know his new round. It was only his second day, and he still hadn't been forgiven for his previous morning's nip-in-the-air remark.
Hiya, Zoo!
Gosh.
Still seems an odd way to deliver a letter to me.
Said Pat.
And these garden paths aren't quite like they are in Greendale either.
He added, missing the stepping stone and falling into the ornamental garden.
Oh, so that's what they meant by mind the shit show on the lawn, did they?
Luckily, Pat had been shown what to do in such an event.
Cool. Wish I had a sword like that back in Greendale.
Mused Pat, walking back to his van. Just then the owner came out.
Hello! Your chop chop, pretty impressive. In barbecue sized pieces, too. You must be samurai,
said Mr. Terry Yucky.
No, my name's Pat, actually.
How so?
Yes,
answered Pat. Letting that joke pass for once.
Why, oh, why, no sense of humor,
said Mr. Yucky.
No, I didn't. You only got three finger. You remember how sacred occupation.
Pardon?
Yakuza.
Bless you.
Bless Pat.
Oh, looky here, boy. You got big chance for smart career here in Japan. The law cannot touch you.
Oh, no, no, you don't understand.
But with only three finger, you can join organization impenetrable to outsider. Never answer to anyone.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I already work for the post office.
Oh.
And this week, BBC Two unveiled their plans for a whole new Shakespeare season. And apparently the Romeo and Juliet's been set in an inner-city tower block. Just imagine it. Doublet hose and Doc Martens, eh? Adeline's team suspended disbelief and slipped in for a sneak preview.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou? Let's bask in night's bountiful glories.
I'm clutching this drain pipe and mopping me brow. I've just climbed up 24 stories.
Such lovering stool.
That's ballyhoo. Ye chappy old lift has been used as a loo. Oh, God. I'm in. Yeah.
Romeo, how thy love makes thee grimace.
I've just caught my codpiece, I'm shaking.
Tell me it's love that lies etched in thy face.
My heart's not the bit that's still aching.
Oh, night of nights.
I've had such frights. This place is so scary. I need some new tights.
Oh, Romeo, Romeo.
Just look at this dump, it's so sleazy.
But how thou dost tremble, thy passion so strong.
The heights make me come over queasy.
I love you so.
Still it's no go. I've just left my lunch in those dustbins below.
Romeo.
Common as muck.
Meanwhile, at the Stand Up Poets Convention.
Ode to the Homeless by Sharon Longfellow. This country is a real disgrace with all the homeless in it. I used to walk the nice clean streets a-singing like a linnet. But now there's squalor everywhere with garbage and gangs and ghettos. Oh, I hate to walk those streets. They will ruin me white stilettos.
Thank you.
So how's it going for you then, this Be Nice to Cab Drivers Week?
Sure, don't talk about it. Be Nice to Cab Drivers Week.
Oh, blimey. You had a few Duff Punters then, haven't you?
Too right. Yesterday, yeah. See, I picks up this fare all the way out at Heathrow Airport, Terminal 1.
Yeah, yeah.
Goes along the M4, A4, over the flyover, along the Uxbridge Road, onto Western Avenue, Crosshanger Lane, then I gets up the 405 onto Gower Street, do a right along Tottenham Court Road, heading up the one way, then I take the shortcut up Brompton Avenue and finally drop the fare at King's Cross Station. And was he nice?
What, all the way from Terminal 1 and he wasn't grateful?
No. Well, he wanted to go to Gatwick.
Yeah.
here. Just look at the dust in here, Philip.
Yeah.
And the cobwebs. It's damp, dark, cold.
Exactly. I knew the Tower of London had somewhere we could put Major Blasted Hewitt, of course. Of course, he'll need a longer bed.
For when they take him off the rack.
Yeah. Help! Help! Keep help, the belly noise down in that sack, Hewitt. Or we'll put another corgi in.
Corgi? Oh, don't be silly, Philip. Everyone knows one uses terriers for rats.
I suppose we should just have the blighter drawn and quartered.
Shouldn't he be well hung?
Well, we wouldn't have this trouble, would we? Oh, dear. All those beef-eaters outside were way ahead of us. You wouldn't have had this trouble if he wasn't. In fact, if someone else had hung around, you know, Bally,
Light, love, peace, and who goes there, man?
Charles. Yes. There you are, boy. We've got Hewitt in this sack.
Ooh. Far out, Daddy-O. Right then, you binder. One will teach you to mock the sanctity of marriage.
Oh, giving lessons in it now, are you? I tell you, Hewitt, we're cracking down on people who write books about the family, like blasted Major Ron Ferguson. That's him in the next cell having a massage there.
What's so bad about that?
The girls haven't worn their hands, you know. Come on, Charles, ship this blasted sack and let's hang it from that chain there on the wall.
Right, here we go. Oh, crikey.
Behold, Omis and Pallones, 'tis I, Edward the Grand Inquisitor. Gaze, base mortals, upon my eek and despair.
I always do, boy, I always do.
For I bring instruments of horrible purpose. Branding irons, red-hot pincers, carmine rollers. Oh, shouldn't have put those in my back pocket. So, this is the naff Omi who's palaried up the sis-in-law, eh? Let me place him in the Iron Maiden. That's the big butch Pallone with all the pointy spikes. Sort of like Madonna with her clothes on inside out.
Edward, dear, it is nice of you to help out, but do you have to wear that black mask?
Well, how's your mascara run again? I can't work it out.
Getting into character, Mumsy. After all, if they can write these things about Sarah and Charles and Diana, what could they write about me?
Yes, that's what we've been wondering for years, boy. Point is, this bounder Hewitt's committed treason. We ought to march him to Tower Hill and...
Oh, crumbs, Pops, this is such a mess. Diana with this bounder. And what can I do with Camilla?
From what I hear, Charles, nothing you haven't done already. I tell you what, let's just... hello, what's this on the dungeon floor?
What?
Looks like another confounded sack. It's all pink and over and crumpled, quick. Hang it on the wall, Edward.
Right, leave it to me, Pops. Right. Here we go. Here it is. Oh, it's moving. It's wriggling.
Oh, God bless me. Get off, you camp tour commander. Almost sent me ears over elbow there. Watch her all. I've just been up the ruddy tower.
Oh, Queen Mar-in-law? You mean the bloody tower?
Oh, yes, dear. Can be a bit, what with me dodgy pegs and them stairs. I've been going through all the books we've had locked away.
Oh, you mean people have written scandal about the family before?
Oh, yes, dear. Ever since they told all that stuff about Margaret, staggering round with a bottle in her mouth.
That was a friend, her maid?
Her nanny, dear. We did get her. Made sure that Crawfy never saw the inside of another royal nappy. Anyways, dears, I got this. Ooh, this'll outsell any books from the likes of Major Huge Twit and Miss Packamack.
Is he going to restore the respect, dignity and good name of the royal family?
I doubt it, Philopides. It's Kitty Kelly's biography of you.
Oh, no!
Dear, what is President Yeltsin doing? We've been waiting on the runway for 40 minutes. Why won't he come off the plane?
Mr. Prime Minister Reynolds, I bring news from Comrade Yeltsin.
Oh, at last.
Comrade Yeltsin regrets he is too, tired to meet with you today.
Oh.
But you are not to take this as a snub. He values you greatly as a world statesman and has asked me to pass this to you with a very important message.
What is it?
It is a tenner. Could you nip to the duty-free and get another bottle of vodka?
Why on earth did you not let me nod off? I must be the laughing stock of. Now everyone's calling me drop-off. It's amazing what vodka can do. Its medicinal purpose is only to say I'm a drunk is baloney. It just sends me to sleep and I can't hear a peep. So the people of Ireland have called me. So the next time we're due for a stop-off and the band starts to play, I must get off. If you don't wake me up, you can fly off. It's amazing what vodka can do. Oi. Cheers.
Hello.
Speak up!
Hello. I'm from the local council's new noise pollution department.
What's that?
Well, we investigate complaints.
I mean, what's that you're saying?
I think I'd better start again.
Yes. What do you want?
No, look.
Hello.
I'm from the noise pollution department. We've had several complaints. This is the residence of Mr. and Mrs. O'Bell, isn't it?
Well, I am Des O'Bell. And this is my good lady wife, Isabel.
Isabel O'Bell, I see.
Who is he, dear?
Hello? He's from the council, dear.
Oh, in that case, tell him no thanks, we're Church of England.
Mr. O'Bell, these...
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Mr. O'Bell, these complaints are rather serious. May I come in?
Look, why don't you come in?
Oh, God. It's very noisy in here, isn't it?
You can talk better inside. It's very noisy in here.
Lucky you caught us at home, young man. We're having a peaceful night in for a change.
Yes. We usually go down to bingo.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Bingo, bingo!
Oh, lucky so-and-so, you won again.
Don't mind her now then, mister.
Pennyfeather.
Right, Mr. Jackson. Well, what's this all about?
Well, Mr. Des O'Bell.
Hey.
We've had complaints from your neighbours that you're both far too noisy.
Too nosy, blooming
No, not nosy, noisy. Noisy!
There's no need to shout, mate. You're disturbing the neighbours.
You are?
The neighbours! Neighbours!
Oh, is it on already?
I think I've heard enough.
It's funny, I can't hear a bleeding thing.
I'm not surprised, frankly.
It's Des, not Frankie.
Hang on. This is the noisiest household I've ever investigated. People shouting at the top of their voices, barking dogs. At least the budgie's been quiet.
Oh, that's a pretty boy.
Hang on. No wonder the neighbours have complained.
We've never heard them.
Well, how could you? You're constantly making this infernal racket. You're both deaf as a post.
I don't know what they're moaning on about. I mean, we're both out working most of the time.
You two both work? I don't believe it.
We're out working most of the time.
I don't believe it. What sort of work can you two possibly do?
Well, I'm a librarian. And she answers calls for directory inquiries.
Meanwhile, at the stand-up poets convention.
Oh, morning all! A poem called Why, by yours truly, Rudyard Friggins. Why do things look bigger when viewed through a magnifying glass? Why do monkey's spheres drop off in the coal, 'cause they're made of brass? Why, when I'm standing in the gents, do my suede shoes always get wetter? Why do I suddenly feel like a... Whoa, that's better!
And finally, stop press.
Britain is facing a shortage of bingo callers.
Yes, so far they've only got two fat ladies.
Manchester police have raided a farm that was operating as an illegal perfume factory.
They first became suspicious when they found three buckets of sheep dip by Dior.
Whitney Houston is said to pocket £1 million for just 90 minutes' work.
Yes, he's moonlighting as a waterboard chairman.
A man has been arrested after he dashed up to a policeman, sprinkled a packet of crisps over his head, then told him how gorgeous he looked.
Yes, he's been charged with assault and flattery.
Soccer fans can now have their ashes put in an urn shaped like the FA Cup.
So it's not really the end. They just go into extra time, you know.
A man has been tattooed from head to foot in leopard spots.
Trouble is, he has to drag his dinner up a tree before he can eat it.
Colonel Frog is to address the Oxford Union.
Well, he was once kissed by a princess, and now he wants to plug the book he's written about it, you see.
A Yorkshire herbalist has admitted selling remedies based on black magic.
Yes, apparently his most popular line is Coven Ready Chips.
And that's the end of the stock press.
And I'll be back next week unless my clauses are dropped by Tony Blair. Ta-da, ba-da!
Those were the news headlines starring Roy Hutt, Chris Evans and June Whitfield, with Peter Moss and the headliners. The announcer was Richard Clegg. Sketches were by Mike Common, Michael Dines, Jed Parsons, Tony Hare, Peter Hickey, Richard Stoneman, Mark Bissenden and Alex DePaniuk, Nick R. Thomas, D.A. Barham and Rob Colley, Mark Griffiths and Chris Williams, Les Rowley and Paul Sylvester and Adrian Joy, with songs by Richard Quick, Ray Walker and Jeremy Brown. Additional lines by Stuart Curry, Simon Marsh, Robert Linford, Dave Dixon, Carl Tollerton, Pete Turner, M. Swinburne, Jerry Godden, John Finch, Jim Marholland, Stuart Curry, Pete Sargent, Dennis McHale, Jim Bond and Roger Minty, Christine Kelly and Hopalong Balka.
All of whom are wearing red nail varnish to entice our producer,
Doug Mack.
Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, halt! Hey, Bow! John!
Okay, Mr. Blair, that's your new manifesto finished.